Welcome to the Female Insight Zone, a podcast dedicated to sharing insights from women who have made an indelible mark in business and the path they took to soar.
Welcome to the Female Insight Zone. This is Mary Beth Kosmeski. Today I'm interviewing Priscilla McKinney. She is the CEO and resident, quote, mama bird, who leads a team of more than a dozen creative peeps at Little Bird Marketing. She has a boutique marketing agency specializing in better than your average bear branding design, campaign, and content strategies with award-winning results. She also has a podcast of her own, and I am just thrilled to talk with another marketing person today. So welcome, Priscilla.
Thank you. And also another fellow mover and shaker woman on the rise. I love it.
Well, so tell me a little bit about how you started your firm and how things have sort of progressed into you starting that firm.
Well, I had a different company and I still have it. I have a credit card processing company, but I was bored with a capital B. And I was constantly doing, you know, behind the scenes marketing consulting for my credit card processing clients. And every day that I would come home and do this, quote unquote, free consulting for people, my husband noticed I was so much happier. I was just alive and I was insightful. I was helpful to people. And it was always such a positive energy for me. And finally, I really came to understand that I just couldn't anymore with the previous company that I had. By that, I just mean I couldn't just do credit card sales every day. That wasn't my absolute native genius. So I got an opportunity to buy the leasehold improvements of someone who had a marketing firm here in town. And she came to me and was like, "You're perfect for this. You send me business all the time. Why don't you take this over?" And it was so funny because don't you find that sometimes someone else calls out something obvious in your life that you really should have seen?
Oh, absolutely. No doubt. That's why I started this podcast, actually. Someone said, "Boy, when you talk about women's issues and the things that are really important to you about business women being strong and you want to inspire others, why don't you start a podcast?" I was like, okay, mm-hmm. So I'm about 110 episodes in. But you're right. I would not have come to that conclusion myself.
It's so helpful to have people who see you.
Yep, exactly. And so as a boutique marketing agency, talk a little bit about the kind of marketing work you do, why you're different than others. And then I've got some other really great questions to ask you.
Well, coming from sales, I am very much, you know, business minded in terms of profit and profit margin. And I think that is unusual sometimes coming from an agency, someone who only comes from a creative background. And I'm not trying to, you know, stereotype, but I'm just saying this is the feedback I get from my clients. Is that they ask me, "Oh, well, let's do this project." And I say, "That sounds good. I love money. Let's work on a project. I'm happy to do it. But why? And how is this going to bring us, you know, the next round of profitability?" Or in some cases, I get the pleasure of working with companies who have certain goals that aren't related to profit and they are related to giving back to the community or whatever it is. I just want clarity on what the actual outcome, the desired outcome truly is before I say yes to a project. And so I think what makes us different is I do think that we ask a lot of good questions up front, and then we can be creative all around that. And we have morphed over time. We used to do a lot more branding. We used to do a lot more web. We used to do a lot more, you know, just different times call for different things. But really where we have specialized and what we just rock is taking people from in the first 90 days, our new onboarded clients, from complete marketing chaos to actual clarity in message, complete with a full annual plan for content and content delivery, and that kind of content delivery that leads to lead generation and really has a plan that is in tune with their sales goals.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I know that, you know, as a marketing firm, we also have a marketing firm, Red Zone Marketing, and we mm-hmm. do some of the similar things. But, you know, the interesting thing about what you're talking about is that you're really getting to the core of the why. And I love that because a lot of times we don't actually get to that. Someone says, "Hey, I want this." And you go, "Okay, we can do that. But mm-hmm. let's figure out first the why." So I think that's very interesting and very insightful. You know, I interview a lot of people that are super successful, and you are as well. So I always like to ask the question, you're super successful, but how did you get to where you're at? Were there some stumbles in the road? Did you have some things that happened that you really learned from that you could share with our audience? Because it's not all wonderful, and there's things that happen along the way. So I'd love to hear about your story.
Yeah, well, along the way, I have made a lot of mistakes. And I've never really liked a lot of business books because they seem to me to be a lot of revisionist history. And I know that people don't like to sit and dwell on all of their mistakes, but it's so important to talk about ways that you failed. We've all hired amazing people and total losers. You know, there's been a lot of learning along that way. But I think the biggest thing for me, and definitely the thing that put me more to the test, was when our creative studio completely burned to the ground. And
what?
I had to stare at the face of what does this mean and how do I start over? And not everybody gets the privilege. And I know that seems like really odd to say because it was really a trauma at the time. Not everybody gets the privilege of that kind of a clean slate and a start over to really ponder the why and start with that in a way that can help you carve out not only the business you want, but the life that you want around that business. So yeah, that's my crazy, you know, drop the bomb story.
Oh my gosh. So, I mean, how did your team recover? Because it's traumatic, not just on you, but on everyone. How did everyone recover? Did you continue to pay your people? Did you guys go work someplace else? What happened?
Yeah. So what kind of makes it even more difficult was it was 3 weeks after the F5 tornado hit Joplin here and put us on and off the map all in one fell swoop. And so our town was really reeling. We were devastated. We were, you know, burying friends and we were trying to figure out, you know, 40% of our town is gone. How do we go on from here? I had 42 clients that we had just finally got back up and running. And 3 weeks later, you know, I'm like, okay, I got them up and running and, you know, my place burns to the ground. I had the privilege also of coming at the tail end of some kind of a trauma like that for us as a town because I got so much support. I got so much clear thinking. And so, yes, we did go on. In fact, that was on a Tuesday. And that Friday, I actually signed one of my largest deals that I had because we regrouped as a company. The reality was that I did not have anything in that building but, you know, papers and pens. And my business was the people that were with me. And we had all of our project management online. I had all my accounting online. I had everything backed up in an underground, you know, vault in a different city. And we could move on. And so we did, you know, there is a lesson there. I would ask entrepreneurs who are listening, do you have a plan for a disaster? And that's not my shtick or anything else. It just is really important to ask you what really is the nature of your business. If it is widgets, fine, that's insured, you know, but if it's ideas, what's the continuity plan that you have if you do have some kind of disaster hit your business?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that is amazing. And you're right. Everything is, you know, very virtual today, but you still have your stuff mm-hmm. and the place that you go, and it's kind of a traumatic thing.
Now, yeah, and you have morale that has to,
right?
You know, you hit the nail on the head talking about, well, it's your people. How did they get through that? And, you know, there is also that idea of morale. But the biggest lesson, you know, I took from that, which is I think what you were getting at, you know, some of the mistakes or things like that's like deep, deep lessons that you learned is that I will never, ever go back to having what I call like the burden of the back burner. And I'll tell a little story to help you understand this, but I really feel that a lot of entrepreneurs today sit with a lot of like, you know, just things tapping on their shoulder. Look at me, look at me, look at me. You know, there's so much we could be doing and we very much get busy. Everybody gets busy and we sometimes fall, you know, into busyness of our own design, which is not the kind of busyness that really brings us to carving out our ultimate why. But to just give it a real, like a clear picture, I had a stack of papers about 6 inches tall sitting on my desk at the time of the fire. And they were all low burner stuff, you know, when I get a 10 minutes, you know, it was an email that had been sent to me and I thought, oh, no, I don't need to do that now, but I don't really want it in my inbox. I'll print that out, put it on my desk. And if I have 10 minutes somewhere, some other time down the road, I'll pick one of those up or get two of them. And I was always working in the back of my mind, I'll get two things off that stack. Oh, I'll get three. But, you know, they build a lot faster than they come off. And the day of the fire, you know, obviously everything, you know, completely burned. It's a brick building. The bricks completely disintegrated and it was just a crazy fire. So there was nothing, you know, to pull out. And what was really very, very odd and a very deep lesson for me was 6 months later when we were finally in our permanent new place and I was setting my desk up. Gosh, I kind of get like a little emotional thinking about it, but I was setting my desk back up. And that's when I realized, where's that stack? Where's that stress? Where's that pressure? And I didn't have it anymore. And I was realized that in the 6 months of me doing all this, you know, trauma and moving our company around and, you know, figuring out our temporary place and getting things back online and ordered and here's a new address and all the things that go with, you know, basically starting over, I realized that I was free. And not only that I was free, but no phone call, no problem. There was nothing that came of me not doing anything in that stack. Hmm. And yet I lived under the pressure of that tapping my shoulder for years. And I'll never do that again. If it's not important to do right now, it's not important to do.
That is a great lesson, because we all, I think, have some of those things like, oh, I'll get to that later. I need to do that. It goes on the to-do list day after day after day. And you think, man, like you say, if it was really important, I would have just done it already.
Yeah, yeah. I have a very deep commitment now. I do not let the what-if projects build up. And I just think to myself, you know what? Light a match.
Oh my gosh.
You do not need it. And inherent in that lesson too is that people, you know, as a lot of entrepreneurs that are listening right now, I think they can relate, is that we all get asked a million questions all day long, right? Hey, what do you want me to do with this? What do you want me to do? I have a great team. They are empowered to make decisions and, you know, clue me in when I need to be, but you still get asked a million questions. It's not about not having a great team. But one thing I learned from that also was I don't have to put that on my list and think, okay, I need an answer for that. I have really gotten myself free enough to be able to say to someone, yeah, you know what? I don't have an answer for you and I'm not going to.
Yeah. Well,
and again, takes it off my list.
Yep. And sometimes we just have to do that. I mean, you think about the entrepreneurs that work day in and day out every day, 7 days a week, because there's so many things that they could be doing. And I used to be a little bit like that. Well, a lot like that. But I mean, are you as productive on day 7 of working 10 hours trying to get through all of this stuff that you're trying to get through? And the answer is probably no.
No, so, you're right. It's not. And, you know, people will talk about entrepreneurs like, well, it's sink or swim. Well, I really thought I was swimming. But all of that frantic arm waving was actually me just drowning in a very dramatic way.
Yeah.
So that was my real, you know, game changing, you know, moment. And those things creep back up. And just about a month ago, I realized I was taking home a stack of about an inch of papers. Okay, handle that, put that on the board, put that on the project management, you know, notes from meetings that I was in or things like that, or things that came to me at different times. And I knew I needed to get them onto, you know, the transparent project management boards where my team could read them and things like that. But my stack had gotten to an inch. And when I turned around and I realized I was putting it in my purse one night to go home, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's the stack, you know, and we all need to constantly remind ourselves. No, I set it back out on my desk and I'm like, no, tomorrow the stack will be gone. Either say no to it, put it in the recycling pile, or say yes and put it on the schedule. When is this going to actually get accomplished? But I just don't want to fall back into that jail that is, you know, the what ifs.
Right. So why do you call your company Little Bird Marketing?
Well, that's a great question. You know, when you hear great news or when you feel like you're an insider, you're in the know, you usually start your sentence with a little birdie told me, dot, dot, dot. And what we wanted to do was create brands that were very special, brands that were communicative, brands that were getting people on the insider view. Like it was special to be involved with these companies, that they had something that was a cut above. And that's why, you know, we joke around and, you know, I gave you that line that we specialize in better than your average bear marketing, is that we were trying to be selective. We wanted premier brands, people who were delivering at an 8, 9, or 10, but their marketing was more like a 2, 3, 4, because then I don't have to create disingenuous marketing. All I have to do is bring their marketing up to snuff and truly communicate the amazing, you know, company that they are and how they deliver so excellently. So that's a little bit of, you know, when I've talked with clients and I'm like, transparently, this is what I'm looking for. I've noticed that your company delivers at an 8, 9, 10 every day. You know, your marketing just doesn't really reflect that. We want to come alongside and do that. And so Little Bird Marketing is that idea of our clients should feel like they're in the know. It's special to be included in the news, in the goings on of these companies. And so that little close-knit circle kind of is where the idea of Little Bird Marketing comes from.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. I think that's great. So you have a lot of resources on your website that I know I saw. And how can people reach you, social media, website? How can they find out more about what you're doing and things like that?
Well, I'm a huge LinkedIn person, so I actually check my own LinkedIn. I really love communicating with people in like trying to make it very meaningful when I'm on LinkedIn. So that's a great place to catch me if you really want to talk. I always take, you know, suggestions from people either about our podcast or just questions. I'm also the president of our Ad Federation Club here locally for the AAF. So I try and help students, and a lot of people have questions about basic entrepreneur. I'm just a good connector. So, you know, people can reach me through LinkedIn or Priscilla@littlebirdmarketing.com. I still actually will respond via email. But I do have a lot of free resources, and I believe in building rapport with people and showing people that we have the chops. And sometimes people come on our site and download guides like persona guides, Facebook guides, LinkedIn checklists, and just anything that's helpful. We have stuff on hashtag strategy, et cetera, et cetera. And we have obviously a lead generation marketing system and a content system. But I've got to say, just so you know, if you go out there and download things, no one bothers you. You'll receive emails and say, hey, thanks for downloading this. But until someone truly raises their hand and says, call me, we don't pester anybody. And you can get a lot of great guides and checklists and just helpful strategy types of things if you are doing it yourself. We're not here to teach do-it-yourselfers, but we are building the rapport by putting those things out there for free. But when the company gets to the point where they're like, okay, now we need it done for us, then we hope that they'll choose us.
Well, that is great. So thank you so much for being a part of the Female Insight Zone today. You were wonderful, and I loved your insights and your lessons. And I think that our audience has taken away some really great insights. So thank you very
good.
Much.
Well, go pull all of them that you want from littlebirdmarketing.com/resources. There's tons of them there.
Thanks for listening to the Female Insight Zone, a podcast dedicated to sharing insights from women who have made an indelible mark in business and the path they took to soar.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.